A story overseas this week shows how history can intrude with painful consequences into the present. For nearly 60 years, a statue of a soldier stood in the central square of the capital city of Estonia, a tiny country on the Baltic Sea. The bronze soldier wore the Soviet Army uniform of World War II. It represented the sacrifice Soviet troops made as they drove Nazi forces out of Estonia in 1944. But for many Estonians, the war memorial symbolized not so much liberation from Germany as occupation by the Soviet Union. And so last month, the Estonian government moved the bronze soldier to a military cemetery and removed the bones of Soviet soldiers from a nearby mass grave. The decision to relocate the memorial and rebury the remains sparked violent protests in two countries. In a few moments, we'll revisit the history behind this dispute, but we begin with NPR's Gregory Pfeiffer in Moscow.
When Estonia's ambassador to Russia, Marina Kaljurand, appeared at a news conference this week to demand the Russian authorities protect the Estonian embassy from angry demonstrators, members of a pro-Kremlin youth group stormed the building. Kaljurand's bodyguards used a pepper-type gas to repel the protesters, while most Russian police at the scene stood by. The protesters were angry over Estonia's relocation of a bronze statue of a Red Army soldier from the center of the capital, Tallinn, to an outlying military cemetery. The move prompted several days of riots in Estonia by the country's large Russian-speaking minority. Estonia joined the European Union and NATO after becoming an independent state following the Soviet collapse in 1991. It's had tense relations with Russia ever since, and protester Marina Kislinitsa says moving the memorial was meant to humiliate Russia.
Our grandfathers died freeing the Estonians from fascism in World War II, and now they're calling them marauders and drunks.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov called the statue's removal disgusting.
This will not only affect our relations with Estonia, but also NATO and the European Union, organizations that have accepted a country that crudely violates the values on which European culture and democracy are based.
Russia has stopped shipments of gasoline and other oil products through Estonia, blaming maintenance on the railway lines. The shutoff echoes recent energy supply cuts to Ukraine and Belarus, which prompted accusations Russia is using its vast energy supplies as a political weapon against some former Soviet states. Estonian Ambassador Kaljurand says the Russian authorities have refused to engage in dialogue over the standoff and have instead sanctioned the protests in Estonia and Russia.
During the past week, the Russian authorities have failed to undertake necessary measures they're obliged to observe under international conventions on protecting diplomatic representatives.
Estonian officials are now accusing Moscow of acting as if the Soviet Union still exists. Last week, a delegation of Russian legislators invited to Estonia called on the government to resign. Prime Minister Andrus Ansip says Russia is meddling in Estonia's internal affairs. During the protests outside the Estonian embassy in Moscow, demonstrators blocked entrances, broke windows, and accused Estonia of fascism. Political expert Vladimir Pribilovsky says the Kremlin orchestrated the protests to win votes in an important election year.
The Kremlin wants to rally support by creating an enemy out of other countries, including Estonia. It's successfully whipped up a patriotic hysteria among young Russians.
The protests prompted appeals to Moscow from the United States, European Union, and NATO. Estonian officials say Moscow's complaints are especially hypocritical because Russia is quietly removing many of its own Soviet war memorials. Last month, the Russian authorities removed the graves of six World War II pilots from a Moscow suburb to make way for a new construction site. Demonstrators say they were beaten by police for protesting the exhumation. Gregory Pfeiffer, NPR News, Moscow.
We're joined now by Angela Stent, a professor of government at Georgetown University. She's an expert on post-Soviet foreign policy. Thank you for being with us.
Glad to be here.
We just heard a Russian woman say that her ancestors died freeing Estonians from fascism. But the Estonians seem to have a different take on history.
What you have here is a very vivid example between Russia and Estonia of this post-communist search for a usable past. You have dueling historical narratives. You have competing historical myths and realities. The Estonians will say they were occupied for 300 years by the Russian Empire. They finally got their independence after World War I, and then they were reoccupied by the Soviet Union in 1940 as a result of the Nazi-Soviet Pact. The Germans came in. It's also true that a number of them fought with the Nazis. Some of them were members of elite Waffen-SS groups, which is something that the Russians are bringing up now. And then, of course, the Soviet Union defeated Nazi Germany in 1945. And from the Soviet point of view, they liberated the Estonians. From the Estonian point of view, Nazi occupation was replaced with Soviet occupation, and there really isn't very much to choose between the two.
In Gregory Pfeiffer's report, we heard an analyst say that the Kremlin is using this whole issue and outcry over the war memorial as a political issue. And it does seem to have struck a chord there, especially in Estonia among ethnic Russians. They rioted and smashed shop windows. Why is this such an important issue for the Russians?
It's very important because it goes to their very heart of an existential question of national identity. What is a Russian? After the collapse of the Soviet Union, loss of Eastern Europe, the humiliation of the 1990s, we heard that in the report. The one thing that remains, which is a non-negotiable element of Russian pride and Russian national identity, is the victory over Nazi Germany in World War II. And once you question that, as the Estonians did, there's really nothing left in terms of Russian identity. Now, having said that, about 25% of the population of Estonia are ethnically Russian. And even though some of them were rioting, they have not voted with their feet and moved back to Russia.
Now, politically, there seem to be some issues among Estonians as well. The prime minister seems to have proposed moving this monument leading up to an election in order to curry favor with nationalists. Why is this memorial an issue for Estonians now?
Well, it is partly domestic politics. And again, it's the Estonians, 16 years after the collapse of communism, rewriting their own history and asserting themselves. And Estonia is a sovereign country, and obviously it does have the right to do what it wants with the statue. Interestingly, the president of Estonia has an interview in the Financial Times where he says maybe we shouldn't have moved the monument. What we should have done was to change its title and instead of using the word liberator, use another word. So I think for Estonians, yes, it's partly political. And it's also they're rewriting their own history after all these years of Soviet occupation. And so it's part of their, again, search for their own usable past.
Professor Angela Stent of Georgetown University. She's the author of Russia and Germany Reborn, Unification, the Soviet Collapse, and the New Europe. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.